We have a powerful theme this year, and I don't know how it is with you. But for me, I believe that God is a God of plans. Praise the name of Jesus. I recently heard someone speak, and he said that God does not have a plan for anyone. For if God had a plan for anyone, why do we see so much evil visiting our nations? And he was saying that if God had a plan, as like the Bible says in the book of Psalms 139, that I knew you even before you were formed. He says, actually, he spoke even to Jeremiah, the same words, that he knew him before he was formed. If God knew that baby that has been aborted, every now and then we hear of these cases of abortion, why did God plan for that demise, for that such a kid? But I do believe that everything that happens on earth has its purpose. Praise the name of Jesus. I cannot explain to you, I don't have the theology to explain to you why God allows certain things to happen. But one thing I am assured of is that God is a God of plan. Praise the name of Jesus. There is nothing that begins and then ends with such a precision if no one sat down and did something about it. And Mswahili alisema, ukiviona vyaelea, vime nini? Vimeundwa. Bwana asifiwe sana. Scientists sometimes, and I thank God for scientists who are here and who believe in the power of God. The scientists sometimes would like to tell us that everything happened by chance. But if you look at everything that you see here on earth, you will know and you will see that truly the fingerprints of God are all over the place. Nothing happens by chance. Even an accident to God is not an accident. It is an accident to you because you were not expecting it, but it never surprises God. Hallelujah. It is orchestrated, planned for, and it has been put there for a specific purpose. We will not understand the purpose, but it is there for a purpose. Praise the name of Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 42 and verse 2, that I know you can do all things. That is Job. After God had dealt with him in the manner that he dealt with him, and now Job comes to the realization that God can do all things and no plan of yours can be thwarted. Hallelujah. That God's plan, now look at the person next to you and tell him, God's plan cannot be thwarted. And so this means that God and his purposes are supreme. Whatever he puts in place, no one can alter. Hallelujah. What he says will happen is what will happen. Then another portion of the scripture, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 30. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. That God is sovereign and in control of all things. He's in control of all people. He's in control of all nations. And it means that you cannot oppose God. You cannot stand against the plan of God and succeed. Anything that you put before God, God will completely annihilate it. There is no chance if you stand against God. The plan of God has to move on. Hallelujah. Then he says also in the book of Psalms 33 and verse 11, but the plan of the Lord stands firm forever, and the purposes of his heart through all generations. This is a God of plan. Hallelujah. His plan will stand forever. And all the purposes of his heart through all generations. When you see the things that are happening on earth today, oh yeah, we hear a lot of evil things that are taking place. Don't be surprised, because Jesus had spoken about them in Matthew chapter 24, and he says that wickedness will increase. And that is exactly what is happening today. Even the church, there is wickedness. But God is a God of plan. Hallelujah. No matter what happens, sometimes we feel like Elijah when running away from Jezebel. And he went to God and he said that, I alone am the only one that has survived. No one else. This woman has killed every prophet. And God tells him, hold on, young, hold on. I don't know how old he was. Hold on, man. I got a plan. I have 7,000 who have not bowed to Baal or Asherah. Praise the name of Jesus. And so I want to tell you that what you see here happening today, that every day we wake up, we hear of a new law that is being put in, and it is protecting certain kind of people, that we are praying that God may turn around and change. And then we hear people standing strong and saying that they have the right. And yes, they do. But I do believe this, that they have the right also to the salvation of God, that they may come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowing that God is God and he never changes. His word speaks, and he says that no man will do such things and see God. Praise the name of Jesus. God has a plan. He says that through the generations. So when you see these things happening, his purpose will still be even in the next generation. Hallelujah. Isaiah 14:24, surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will stand. Isaiah 46:11, what I have planned, that I will do. And no man can stop God from doing what he has to do. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servant, the prophets. His plan is not revealed to everyone. And I repeat, his plan is not revealed to everyone. God's attributes and character and everything are, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, that they have been visible to all humankind, that no one will ever have any excuse that why you did not know God. Because everything that we see testifies of the goodness of the Lord, testifies that there is a God that already has put everything in motion. And therefore you have no excuse why you did not know. But his plan, what he's about to do, he reveals to his prophets, to his servants. They, those who have given themselves to have a relationship with him. That is the plan of God. Psalms 40, chapter 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things that you have planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare. And finally, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11 speaks of the plan of God for you and for me. That his plan includes you. Here he says that in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purposes of his will. That means that God has a plan, and it includes you and it includes me. Praise the name of Jesus. And Christ is the center of God's plan. That whether you are in the universe or you are an individual person, that a Christian that is in, that has a relationship with Jesus Christ, because not all people who consider them Christians have a relationship. The Bible says that those are the only ones that are going to have a meaningful future and destiny in Christ. And Paul goes on to speak and says that this is not for the whole world. It is for them that have responded to the call of God. If you have responded to the call of God, you are included in God's plan. And this plan is to give you a future and a hope. Praise the name of Jesus. And the future is not only here on earth, but also in heaven. Praise the name of Jesus. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, our theme. That is it is a powerful theme. And last night, when Dr. Njoroge was praying here, I thought that he was now encroaching on the message that I was about to give this morning. But I thank God, because he went just but far. And so I can continue from where he stopped. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Now look at that. Look at that portion of the scripture. If you want to understand it fully, you know, sometimes we read that and we think, oh yeah, it means that God has a good plan for me. And so you stop there, to give you a future and a hope, and therefore you are okay. But I want to tell you that this, in order for us to understand this properly, we need to understand the context. If you go back to verse 4 through 7, God is speaking through Jeremiah to people who are in exile. Praise the name of Jesus. People who were in exile. Jeremiah was not in exile at that time. Jeremiah was in Jerusalem with some of them that were left there. But he was writing to the people who were already taken to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. And he was writing and telling them the things that they need to do in order for God's plan for their lives to be accomplished. Hallelujah. If you read verse 4, it says this. This is what the Lord Almighty God, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number and do not decrease. Praise the name of Jesus. These people were in exile. You think about exile. I don't know how many people are in exile in this country from Kenya. I'm not in exile. But being in exile, it means that to be cast away, to be removed, to be set apart, to be deported, to be banished from the rest of the population that you know of. To be in exile is to be in a place where you are not supposed to be in the first place. And for our purposes, we may consider that to be in exile may be the troubled times that we are going through right now. Economically, it could be legally, it could be socially, it could be anything. To be in exile is to be in an unpleasant situation. Increasingly distressful, unpleasant situations. You may be in a place where you are not able to help yourself. Oh, help yourself. You know, we don't like using that. People say God helps those who help themselves. No, I'm saying you are not able to go about your businesses as you should. To be in exile is to be completely deprived of the sustenance of life. To be in exile is not to be able to accentuate everything that you have, God has put in place for you, so that you may be able to attain the desired end. To be in exile is to be away from that love, those who love you, who care for you, who pray for you, who encourage you, who lift you up. To be in exile is to be in an unpleasant situation. And these people were in exile. And we probably are people who are in exile, though we are here legally and you did not run away from home. You may be in exile even in your own right house. Ah, praise the name of Jesus. Being in exile is to be sometimes in the darkest of moments. During troubled times and during those unpleasant moments, during those times of despair, people tend to be subdued, to be overwhelmed. We tend to be depressed. We tend sometimes to be unproductive. Yeah, believe me, when you are in exile, you are unproductive. You may do probably nothing. But God was speaking to the people in exile. Praise the name of Jesus. He says that though you may be disconnected, though you may be going through hard times, you may be in the hardest of places or darkest of places. You may probably have already degenerated into despondency. God is saying that the time has come for you now to change your modus operandi. Oh, way of operation, that's what I'm talking about. Praise the name of Jesus. You gotta stop now sitting down and pity-patting and wallowing in the dirt and eating with the pigs and living as if there is no hope for you. It is time for you to change. God has a plan, but it includes you so that you may do what you're supposed to do. Praise the name of Jesus. If you have bread at the back there and you're hungry and you have legs that can walk, God is not gonna walk for you to bring that bread down. You gotta walk it yourself. And get that bread yourself. He has given you the strength. He has given you everything that you need so that you may be able to cause his plan for your life to be realized. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. So Jeremiah is speaking and he's telling them that people, you know, there are people who came to this country and even today they've been here probably 18, 17, 13, 12 or whatever number of years that they have been, but they have never unpacked their suitcases. Not literally, I'm not, you know, but they are already ready to go. The moment is the whistle is blown. They are ready. Well, let me suggest something to you. Please unpack. It's time for you to unpack. Tell the person next to you, please unpack if you are packed already. Listen, he's saying that you have to do something. You gotta build. Build. You know what is building? Building is putting structure on the ground. And this structure is supposed to shelter you and take care of your cares. God is saying, build. And then he says, settle down. Hallelujah. I say, settle down, my brother. Settle down, my sister. God has a plan for you. Settle down. He says then you have to do other things. You got a farm. You know, there are people who came from Kenya and they were farmers, but they don't even think that they can be farmers in this country. I say you can farm. Yeah. Hallelujah. Sometimes I tell my wife, I'm going to buy a farm, and then I know that ministry I'll do alone if I do that. Say, you have to go, you will go alone. I love the farm. We go driving, you know, those Amish places, and my kids will go, ew, because, you know, they smell this cow dung and stuff like that. And I say, this is the kind of life that I would love. You know, it reminds me of where I came from. God is saying that you got to farm. And then what are you supposed to do? Enjoy the produce. Hallelujah. You farm and enjoy it. And then you say, marry. Oh, there are people who are waiting to go back and get a wife or a husband. But you can look around and you will see that God has already brought them around to you. It doesn't have to be the one that speaks your language. It doesn't have to be the one that looks like you. It doesn't have to be as long as it is within the parameters that God has set. Hallelujah. Not just anybody. You know, nowadays now, you see, we used to see two people walking, and two men and two women walking, and oh, they're okay. And now, you see that now, you say, wow. And when you see two people who are a man and a woman walking and holding hands, and they may not be married, they look very righteous, you know. They look very righteous at that time. As long as it's the parameters that God has set. That's what I'm saying. And then he says that you don't just get married. You got to produce. You got to bear children. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Because there are people who say that, oh, well, you know, it's so hard in this country. They don't want to have children. Because it's so hard. And then when they get they have children, they take them back to Kenya. And they have... My time is moving very quickly. But this is what he says. And then he ends with this. He says that increase in that country, do not decrease. Do you know how powerful that is? You know, sometimes we look at ourselves and we diminish ourselves. We demean ourselves. We want to let other people look down upon us simply because you have an accent. Not knowing that they too have an accent. Or maybe because you look like. I do believe that God has positioned us here for a specific reason. And it is time for us now to take our position and say that it really does not matter. Where I have come from, it may be humble. Praise God. It may look like I came from the lowest of the people of earth. It doesn't matter where you came from. It really doesn't matter where you began. Where you end is what is important. It is time. It is time for us to rise up and increase. Hallelujah. Amen. Not only in numbers, but also our capacity, our abilities, what we can do and what we can handle, the things that we can come up with. You know, one time, sometimes back, I think the very first administration of Kibaki, Professor Anyang Nyong said words that really have rung with, you know, they have stuck with me for a long time. And he was speaking in an interview, and he said that Kenyans are one of the most innovative and most trainable people in the world. Oh, yeah, now, you know, when we say that, people say, oh, yeah, we are wishful thinking. It could be, but let me tell you, you go today to Kibera, you go to Korogosho or Madare or any place, and your car breaks down, or even it is totaled beyond total, the next day it will be back to the road. Hallelujah! It will be. Oh yeah, you get a Juakali guy there, and he goes under it. Immediately the next day, you are on the road again. Isn't that true? And I believed him because he said his friend from Germany came to Kenya and he had these old Mercedes-Benz. And when that Mercedes-Benz broke down, actually it was an accident, Juakali guys came and worked on that vehicle. And he was back on the road in a few days. He said that in Germany, this will be thrown in the dustbin. Because nobody can put that back on. They can't. We have the know-how. Hallelujah. When you see the Juakali guy, oh yeah, respect that person. Amen. Respect them. He's a profession. It is. And so when we come here, we just want to, you know, we want to follow around. And you know, sometimes Kenyans, we sometimes look very foolish when we copy and copy and copy. Even when we try to change our accent. We try to change our names so that they may feel comfortable. I say, no, you can't change your name for me so that I may have ease in pronouncing it. But we are very eager to do that. No, I say, my name is Kimani, not Kaimani, not Kayman, not all that. It got to be the right name. And I'm not going to change it. I'm going to call myself Kim so that you may feel comfortable. We come here pronouncing every word very clearly with T at the end, but we come here and then we change. It becomes R, you're better, you know. Even we put R where there's no R. We say R's. Us. All right, let me finish. My brother and my sister, I don't know what you're going through today, but I want to tell you that if you're going through hard times, God has a plan for you. Praise the name of Jesus. It is during that hard time that you're supposed to start rising up. It is during that hard time that you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to start living and not dying. Praise the name of Jesus. Psalms 118 and verse 17, what does it say? It says, I shall not die, but live to declare the goodness of the Lord. I will not die, I refuse to die. And many people, sometimes they just want to put themselves in dying positions. They just want to, when God is taking care of your business and dealing with you in a certain way, and you feel like you are being pushed down, you feel like now God is done with you. You think that, oh, it is over. You think that now it is the end of me. But you really have to realize that sometimes God may plant you, not bury you. Praise the name of Jesus. Because you know, burying and planting, they look like the same, isn't it? You put the seed in the soil and you cover and then you step on it, isn't it? If you want to bury something, you put it under the soil, right? If you want to plant something, you put it under the soil, isn't it? They may look like the same thing, but they are different. Praise the name of Jesus. Sometimes God is planting you and you think you are being buried. It is time for you now to start knowing that God is planning to bring you back. He is setting you for a strong comeback. Hallelujah. It really does not matter what you are going through right now. It may look like that now things are working so hard against you that you cannot move forward. But God is saying, time for you to rise up is about to happen. It is time for you now to look back and say, I will be back. No matter what happens, praise the name of Jesus. The good thing is that knowing God has a plan will give you that impetus, give you that desire, give you that motivation, give you that encouragement. It pushes you forward and it causes you to stand and say, though I am in deepest of the deep, though I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil because I know my God has a plan for me. And my destiny is sure. Places where he wants me to go, he has already set and he is preparing for me. Praise the name of Jesus. Jesus spoke to the disciples and he told them, go and find a colt that is tied by the fork on the road in the small town. And God, Jesus had a plan for that colt. And he says that when you get there, you will find a man. When they ask you what you are doing, tell them that the master needs it. Now let me tell you. Sometimes when you are tied down and you do not have any hope, God is saying that it is time for you to be untied. It's time for you to be set free. It's time for you now to start rising. Rise up and walk and do not sit again in the dust. Do not allow people to give you handouts because you have got the strength to be able to do the work that God has called you to do. It is time for you to refuse that living in mediocrity. It is time for you to stand up and say that I may be in exile. But I am going to rise up and build a house. I'm going to rise up and start settling. I'm going to rise up and start farming. I'm going to rise up and start producing. I'm going to marry a wife. I'm going to get married to a husband. I'm going to do something. Because God has a plan. Praise the name of Jesus. My time is up. But let's look at this for just one second. These people were in captivity. And the captivity was 70 years. That's what the Bible says. 70 years. If you have always wanted to go back to Kenya, and somebody tells you that you will, no, don't even plan. You'll be here for 70 years. What would you do with 70 years? Supposing you would leave for those years. 70 years. How many people are 70 years old here? Guess what? No one. 70 years. Is a long time. It's a long time for you to start thinking about settling, my brother and my sister. It's about time for you now to stop living in hopeless existence, wasting away and dying. 70 years. The plan of God was this, to set people, his people, free from captivity. His plan was not to give them good houses. You know, he told them, build. He told them, farm. He told them, get married. He told them, produce. And then he said this, pray for peace and prosperity of this city that you're living in. The people who keep on cursing the city that they live in. And then it keeps on degenerating and becoming worse every day. Two years ago, it was, maybe one or two people were killed, homicide. And now, because they are there, 2 years later, 10 people are now dying every year. Pray for the peace of the city and its prosperity. Because when it prospers and you're in peace, they are in peace, you are too in peace, and you will prosper. Praise the name of Jesus. Do not curse the city that you live in. Because when you curse it, you get cursed. And God is saying that now it is the time for you, my brother and my sister, to start looking at God's plan. God's plan is not to give you the best car. It's not to give you the best house, living the American dream. God's plan is not to give you just a wonderful life that you live and feel good and have, you know, merry and walk around showing people. That is not God's plan. Those are just byproducts. They are temporarily, my brother and my sister. They are only necessary to orchestrate and to move the plan of God ahead. But the plan of God is the ultimate goal to get you, to set you free completely. in his presence eternally. Praise the name of Jesus. And these people were looking forward to the day that they will be taken back to their land where God had promised them. He says that you will do all these things. That is your job to do. It is not your job to worry. It is your job to start now living again. Hallelujah. But let God do his work. He says that while I work my plan, meanwhile, live. Praise the name of Jesus. Jesus says that occupy till I what? Till I come. Occupy till I come. And in conclusion here, I want us to just quickly look here a little bit and see what is the importance of these byproducts. Very quickly. Number one, God wanted the people of God to settle down. When you settle down, you can accomplish a lot. Praise the name of Jesus. For a roaring stone gathers no moss. The things that you do will not get root if you keep on wandering around. People, when we are planning this conference, we have realized how people move around, Kenyans. You send mail and then it comes back. And they give you that address the other day. Then they come and give you another one. Then you send another letter. Then it comes back to you. Then you wonder, why do Kenyans keep on moving like this? Nomads. Looking for pastures. Or maybe they're hermits. One hammer hammer. So you need to settle down. Praise the name of Jesus. Build yourself a house. Find a place. Pray that God will set you in a place. And then he says that then what you're supposed to do, okay, yeah, you do all those things, feed your family and take care of that. And he says that marry and have children. Why did God want them to have children? And he said increase in number. And don't decrease. Because people are necessary. Praise the name of Jesus. People are important. If you have to go back to where you came from, you will need people. You will need a great multitude for several reasons. Number one, people are necessary for manpower, isn't it? You need to develop the land that God brings you to. Hallelujah. Then he says that we need people because for protection. Oh yeah, we need army. Not two kazi yendele. We need security. Hallelujah. And we cannot do without people. Then he says that in order to keep God's plan moving forward from generation to generation, we need people. Hallelujah. We need children. We need these children to bear children and children, children, and on and on and on. Number two, why did God want them to have peace? Because peace in the city is necessary for togetherness. People come together and they are able to live in harmony. And when you are in harmony, when you're living together, it is very easy for you to accomplish much. Hallelujah. Because war scatters people. War takes people from place to place, and therefore the plan of God may not work as much as it was supposed to because people are scattered all over the place. And then also, peace is necessary for preserving the gains. Whatever you have accomplished, the gains that you have already, you have, God wants you to preserve the wealth and the prosperity. Then number three, why is prosperity necessary? Because prosperity ensures successful transition from when you're moving from one place to another. When you are when you have wealth, you can settle anywhere, isn't it? And that's the reason why we read in the book of Exodus, chapter 12 and verse 36 and 35, that the people of Israel, the children of Israel, they obtained favor from the Egyptians and they dispossessed them of their jewels and all those wealth. The Bible actually says that they plundered them. It's time for you to plunder. Praise the name of Jesus. You need that wealth. You need it. So that where you settle, you meet the needs that you find there. Praise the name of Jesus. And therefore, then verse 8 and 9, he warns us against certain people. What does he say? And this is the last thing that I'm going to end with. Be careful who you listen to. We have many voices, right? We have many pastors. We have many prophets. And it's good. It's good. I love pastors. I love men of God, women of God. But it is important that you be careful who you listen to. You look at the verse 24 there, you will see. People like Shemaiah, people like Ahab, okay? Who was the other guy? There were and Zedekiah. These are the people that Zedekiah and Ahab were already with the exiles. Were in Jerusalem. And Shemaiah was actually in exile. When Jeremiah is writing a letter to the exilees, Shemaiah is writing the letter back to the Jerusalem and telling them, he says that we are going to have a new high priest in place of Jehoiada. And he says, why are you allowing this voice, this madman walking around all the time, telling the people that they will be in exile for more than 70 years? You have to put them in shackles. Now, be careful who you listen to. There are some in Kenya and there are some in here. They write letters from Kenya and others write letters from here to Kenya. Be careful who you listen to. The plan of God is very, very important. And if you allow people to divide you, then the plan of God will not be realized. As you rise up on your feet, tell the person next to you, be careful who you listen to. Tell him like you mean it. Come on, tell him like you mean it. Tell her like you mean it. Be careful who you listen to. And tell that person, I'll be praying for you, that you only listen to God. For the plan of God can only work if you listen to him alone. Come on, rise up onto your two feet. We're going to trust God. We're going to believe in God. Hallelujah. That we are not going to die, we are going to live. Praise the name of Jesus. We are not going to decrease, we are going to increase. Amen. We are not going to go back, we are going to go forward. Hallelujah. We are not going to allow the hard times and the difficult moments to cause us to be dampened and our spirits not to be able to do what God intended us to do. It is time for you to rise up, my brother. It's time for you to rise up, my sister. Do not allow anything that will hinder the move of God in your life. In your life. To come between you and God. Praise the name of Jesus. Finally, I say, build houses, buy farms, farm them, eat your produce, pray and find a husband or find a wife. I know it is very important, Evangelist Hilda, isn't it? Yeah. And most importantly, increase, don't decrease. Not only in numbers. Do not let your faith decrease. Do not let your courage decrease. God told Joshua, he said that, as long as you live, no man will stand before you. Praise God. And I am praying that as long as you live, no man or woman will stand before you, between you and the plan of God, that you may be able to accomplish that. Lift up your hands for a moment and ask God to help you. Let God deal with your situation now. And help, let him help you.